Outline number 13. Reigning in life. What a coincidence. Reigning in life. The kingdom reward. And the new Jerusalem. For this lesson, you will, of course, need your outline booklet. And your Bible. And your Bible. Please have that handy. And your lesson book. We will start with the Bible. Then we will go to the lesson book. And then we will go to the outline. Three points here, which I hope that you can see. This first important word is issue. And the second important word is goal. Goal. Don't worry about that yet. Actually, you could turn that off for now. till we need it. Thank you. Issue, I-S-S-U-E. I hope you write that down. Issue and goal, G-O-A-L. We are in a series of lessons in our book, in our outline booklet, that cover the issues of our experience of life. In the earlier lessons and outlines, we talked about what is life, we talked about how to experience life, we talked about what are the obstacles to life and how we can deal with those obstacles so that the life of God that is within us can be effectual to flow in us, to move in us. But God's life within us is not merely for our own personal enjoyment and satisfaction. The experience of that life within us, of God as life in us, has an issue. Amen. And a goal. That should be easy to understand because the life within us is not a thing. It's not a force. It's a person. And so a person came into us. Have you experienced this? That there's another person inside of you? Who, a person who has his own mind, emotion, and will. That means he has his own likes and dislikes. He has his own inclinations. And he has his own goals and purpose. And when our purpose doesn't line up with his purpose, he lets you know. So, these few lessons are on the issue and the goal. So this morning, we touched the lesson on the body of Christ, the oneness of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the issue of the divine life. That's easy to see. I don't know if the brother here, was it you? Did you touch Adam and Eve? No. So I like to bring this out as a kind of illustration. You know, as a picture, when Adam was created, Eve was not created right away. They weren't created as a pair. But then, I think you all know that story probably since you're a child, that God put him to sleep, and then after he named all the animals, because actually the parading of the animals was to see if Adam could find a counterpart. And he saw giraffe. No. Looked at the giraffe, looked at himself. No. Lion. No. Squirrel. No. All the things. No. Then God put him to sleep, opened, took something out, a rib out, and from that rib he built a woman. And when he woke up, it says in Genesis 2, this time it is. I don't know if Adam said it exactly that way. This time it is. So Adam found a counterpart. Now, you have to think about in the New Testament, Jesus said in Matthew, I will build. Remember, God took a rib and built the woman. Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen. Then God put Jesus to sleep. Right. Where? On the cross. And God opened his side. Actually, God didn't do it directly. That centurion. Right. I remember the first time I read that. Actually, not the first time. Many times when I read that in John 19, I don't like it. Yeah. It upsets me that it's like the Lord Jesus was dead already, and then that centurion. I got upset at that centurion. But that was sovereign of God, because he pierced his side. You know, they had this tradition that when someone's being crucified, you know how it is, right? They would you know, we've told you about this. It's not through here, not in the like that you see in many pictures and paintings. It's most likely here, history says. They would put to hang because that's very strong, these bones here. And then they cross the feet. And what kind of force does it take to drive a nail through both feet onto the, yeah. And so then they had this tradition that, and because it was the Passover, right. they have the tradition, they can't let the sun go down. So they have to take them and bury them before the sun goes down. And so what they do is, you're dying from suffocation, actually. You're dying because your body weight is pressing. Yeah, I mean, gravity is what kills you. Do you realize that God created gravity, killed the Savior? Isn't that something? The God, gravity was pressing down, pulling him down. And what it does is your rib cage presses on your lungs and suffocates you. That's how you die, really. But if you wait, it takes a while. It's a process. And of course, you're suffering up there. And of course, with the Lord Jesus, as this was all going on, people were mocking him and yelling. And so when he was up there, anyway, when they're up there, what they do is they come at a certain time and they break the bones of their legs. They take a stick and break the bones in their legs to make them bleed faster. Bleed faster and die faster. Like get the process over so they could get rid of them before the sun goes down. And they did to one, they did to the other, the two thieves. They come to Jesus, he's dead already. So they don't break his bones. And there's a prophecy in the Old Testament that says, not a bone of his will be broken. Amen. Then, since he was dead, they take the spear. Oh, that always upset me. I never liked reading that part. But actually, it's sovereign, because when it says in John 19, when they pierce his side, out came what? blood and water. Some kind of water came out. And that's a picture. That's a picture of his life flowing out now through death. Because he was like the grain of wheat. You know, grain of wheat, a seed. You put it here, it will never sprout. Right. You have to put it into the ground for it to, its shell to break and the life to come out. And then it could be something bigger, stronger. I mean, just imagine what comes out of that little seed. That's powerful. That's what happened on the cross. And that, you have to see, what was that? That was a picture of the life flowing out, which is the Spirit. And that life got into every one of you, every one of you, every one of you, and us. Amen. That life builds the church. Right. That is exactly what happened in Genesis 2. God built the woman from the bone. In the New Testament, God is building the church from the life that comes out of Christ. That's the picture at the Lord's table. Do you see that? At the Lord's table, the bread is broken. And then where does it go? Into you. Into you. Into all of us. Into every one of us. And when the Lord looks at this meeting, actually, we now are the bread. We are one bread. That's the issue of the divine life. And the goal. The goal is the body. The goal is to have the body. So tonight we come to these three matters, these three issues: reigning in life, the kingdom reward, and the New Jerusalem. We'll spend a little bit of time on reigning in life. We'll spend most of the time on the kingdom reward. And I don't have the burden tonight to get into the matter of the New Jerusalem with you. Reigning in life. Please, now, I said we'd start with the Bible. Please read, or do you know already? Is it memory verse? Romans 5:17. Those who have committed it to memory, please recite. If you have not, you can take out your Bible, or you can take out your memory verse sheet for outline number 13. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. Okay, go. Reign in life. Please ponder this phrase for just a moment. Reign. Reign. R-E-I-G-N. Reign. Reign has to do with what? Huh? Ruling. Where? In a kingdom. So reigning is something about the kingdom. But it's the kingdom in life. You know, this matter, reigning in life, brings together the two main items of God's eternal purpose in Genesis 1:26. What are they? What are the two key words in Genesis 1:26? One, image. Two, we have his image. And that's a matter of life. Because we often give this example of the glove. Yeah. I don't know if we did that this time. A glove. The glove has the what? Image of the hand. The glove has an image of a hand. But it doesn't have the life. It doesn't have actually the hand. So it needs something living to come into it. Then it really is the expression of the hand. Just like we're made in God's image, but we need his life to come into us for us to actually be his expression. Right. But this phrase is what? Reigning in life. And what's the second part? Image and?
Dominion.
Which is a matter of reigning. So if you reach the stage in your life, in your Christian experience, that you are reigning in life, you are accomplishing God's purpose at the moment. whether that be in school, at your home, anywhere you are. If you are reigning in life, you are at the moment accomplishing God's purpose. Now, let's read what that means. Let's read now in the lesson book. Lesson book. Page, in my book, it's 151. I don't know if we have the same edition. Lesson 19. 151. Is it? Same? Very good. Let's read this paragraph. Reigning in life. Go. Another? Let's alternate. We read just the next paragraph. Let's alternate sentence by sentence. Sisters, could you please start for us? Go. Therefore. Oh, I would highlight that sentence or that last part. Reigning is the final goal of God's salvation. Brothers.
It is the summit of our spiritual experience.
Oh, I would highlight a sentence like that too. The summit of our spiritual experience. Sisters. Okay, then skip down to the fifth line from the bottom. Whether in God's work, sisters?
Whether in God's work, in the church, at home, or in any pastor in his environment, he can reign and rule over that which God wants him to rule.
Brothers?
There must be such people gained by God, that through them the authority of God can be executed, and the kingdom of God can come.
Okay, there must be such a people on earth that's who can execute God's authority. The first place that we have to reign is actually over ourselves. I think you had this lesson on the two kinds of fruit of the Spirit, right? That was yesterday. Two kinds of fruit of the Spirit. One, that comes from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control. You know what that means? That means you're reigning in life over yourself. How many of you lack in some area of your life self-control? Oh, I wish we could go one by one and find out what area. Maybe we could start right up here. It's so convenient. But we don't have time for that. Some of us, we cannot control our tongue and curses come out. I won't ask you how many. Here, you're so sweet and sanctified for the most part. But over there, actually, not back in school, even on the field sometimes, Although I told the brothers the other day, I haven't heard one curse. No, sorry, I can't say that. No, I heard one. As soon as the brother did it, he said, "Sorry, Brother Ricky." Who do you say sorry to at school? Or is it worse at school? That means what? You don't reign in life. You're supposed to do your homework. You know you're supposed to do your homework. Oh, just one more show or just one more episode. Netflix. Just one more. But then you finish that one, you know, there's 22. Or 10 or 13. Just one more. How many of you have a hard time reigning in life watching shows on Netflix or any other flicks or television? Just one more. You can put your hands down now. How many of you have a hard time reigning in life overeating? Like, you know, no, I shouldn't. Oh, I shouldn't. Just one more. Even that. You know what that shows? We need to experience the Lord more. Amen. Lord, grow in me.
Amen.
Just one more cookie. Even a cookie, you can't reign in life over. How do you expect that we could reign over Satan? That's not happening. How many of you have a hard time reigning in life over your attitude to your parents? Oh, I think if the Lord could help you, grow in you to the point where you reign in life in this area, many other areas you will conquer. Actually, it seems we can sing here. So heavenly. But when you get home, there's not much reality of that. Don't stop singing it, though. Maybe the more you sing it, the more the Lord will have ground to remind you. Maybe the next time Dad says something, clean your room, and you're about to, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it comes, raining in life. You go, "Amen, Dad." Amen, Dad. That could happen. You're in your room, you're typing, you're doing something. Mom says, calls your name. Serena. And just I don't know what it is, just the sound of her voice, just. You start turning green. But maybe, you're about to say, maybe you even, she can't see it, and you're about to say, "What, Mom? I'm studying." Or even you might say, "I'm reading the Bible." But just as you're raining in life, amen. Yes, Mommy. Or better yet, you actually go to the kitchen and present yourself. Yes, Mommy. That experience is reigning in life.
Amen.
So it's there for you. And He's operating in you. Just cooperate with that, and you'll reign in life. Okay. The next point is the kingdom reward. You see on your outline, three words. Okay, turn to page 28. This is our outline. Page 28. Whoa. Yeah, okay. This is my burden. What does this mean? The kingdom reward. Okay. Can we start, brothers? Slides. Let's read Romans 1. Repeatedly, the scriptures repeatedly mention the Lord will come again. Oh, if you have time in your group tomorrow, read all these verses. How the Lord said again and again and again and again, he's coming. Especially Acts 1:11. Maybe you circle that one for tomorrow. Acts 1:11. That talks about when the Lord, after he resurrected and he stayed with the disciples for 40 days, and then they went out of the city to the Mount of Olives. And there, he talked to them a little bit. And then, what a sight. What a sight. Like, did a cloud just descend? Did a cloud appear? But like a cloud was there. And then he got on the cloud, and the cloud, like an elevator. And then it says that they were all like, and then two angels came. Two angels? I think it's two angels. And said, why are you doing that? He said, go to the city. Like, get going, get going. They were like, wow. And then he told them that at that spot on the Mount of Olives, one day, he's coming back down to that exact spot. Wouldn't you like to be there? Yeah. Actually not. You'll see later. What you really want to do is not be there like waiting. What you really want, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Never mind. Yeah, okay, I'll tell you. What you really want is actually to be coming with him. That's going to be crazy. Don't you think? That's amazing. And it says, when he comes, every eye will see him. I mentioned this to the junior hires the other night. I asked, how could that be? Well, they got right away. Media. I mean, televisions. Imagine Dennis Times Square. Yeah. They'll be. Yeah. He's coming. You'll be on your phone. You'll get like alerts. Alerts, notifications. People probably put it right away on Instagram. Also, with Snapchat. Do you do Snapchat? I don't do Snapchat. But anyway, they just like whoa, breaking news. Like if you're watching something, suppose you're watching something. Every network, breaking news. Jesus is coming. And then they show the video. Maybe Jesus came. One day, you know, people don't believe. People don't believe. This is like fairy tales to them. But one day, everyone will believe. Everyone will know. We just know first. Everyone will know. Sorry to say, at a certain time, it'll be too late to believe. Everyone will know. And this is a fact. Every human being sooner or later we'll have to face. There will be no atheists. You know, right? In hell, in the lake of fire, there will be no atheists. On the last page of the Bible, here we go, last page of the Bible, Revelation 22, 7, 12, and 20. There's a list here. But I just put these three. Let's read these three consecutively. Go. 7.
And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this scroll. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with
last page of the Bible, the last page of the Bible has so many things. I've told you many times. 1,189 chapters. 1,189 chapters. And in 66 books. And the last page, on the last page, Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. Three times, it's like he's reminding us. You know, in a couple of weeks, I need to go to Australia, to Sydney, give a conference and a training. And there's some saints there I'm corresponding with and making arrangements for things. And they like the last line of everyone that I write, I'm coordinating with 1, 2, 3, 4, five people. And everyone says, see you soon. Looking forward to seeing you soon. And they all say it, and I say it every time. See you in 2 weeks. See you in a week and a half. And there's an anticipation. Yeah, that's how the Bible ends, with an anticipation. He's saying, see you soon. I hope you have the same kind of, yeah, see you soon, Lord. I'll just be here reigning in life. You just come. Romans 2. The statuses of Christ at his coming. He's coming as a thief. You can just circle these points here or highlight. Thief, bridegroom, master, judge, savior. He's coming as a thief. We already saw this week. With who? In whose example? Somebody said, huh? Enoch. Enosh was the one who called on the name of the Lord in his generation. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I said this to the junior, I mean, not that I said this, we were sharing with the junior highers, and one girl in the junior high meeting raised her hand. I said, yes. She says, where did he go? I said, I don't know. But it's very special. And it's with God. It's with God. But you know what? He's coming as a thief. And I'm going to show you a little diagram in a couple of minutes. He's coming as a thief. Actually, two stages of coming. One will be public. What I illustrated before on the Mount of Olives. That will be public. But before that, he's coming secretly. And he will come to individuals and he'll snatch them. And if you grow in life, if you let the Lord grow in you to that point, before he comes publicly, he'll take you to him so that you could come with him. Do you know that? That's pretty special. So my point is, maybe he'll take you. And then wherever it is that he takes you, which according to the Bible will be in the third heaven, maybe you'll see Enoch there. Say, oh, that's where you've been. Nice to meet you. I've read all about you. We had a message in the summer school on you and your family. He may say, really? Which summer school? Because they talk about me a lot. It's about Penuel. Oh, yeah, I heard some good things about Penuel. Quite a number of people who were in Penuel are here. Oh, this is a, you know, place where we produce overcomers. Keep coming. I hope so. I really hope that would be. But he's coming as a thief. What does that mean? You know, a thief is a negative. We wouldn't dare give this example unless it came out of Jesus' mouth. Jesus was the one who gave this example. And the point of this is not that he takes things unrighteously, because that's what thieves do. But we belong to him. So it's not really as a thief. But the point is, it's when you don't expect it. That's the point. It's when you don't expect. Which means what? You should be ready all the time. That's why I'm giving you this lesson. He's coming as a master to settle accounts. I'm not going to cover that. He's coming as a judge. This I will cover. He's coming as a judge. And he's coming as a savior. Next slide, please. In these verses in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. Well, let's read. And saying,
there is a promise of his coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue in this way from the beginning of creation. The Lord does not delay regarding the promise, as some count delay, but is long-suffering toward you, not intending that any perish, but that all advance to repentance, expecting and hastening the coming of the day of God.
Stop there. Okay. I want to highlight here, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue in this way from the beginning of creation. People think, nothing's changed. Nothing's going to change. Your God's not coming back. People think he's not coming back. We have this world. This is just going to go on. No, it's not. He's coming. But he's delayed his coming because, remember in the verses in Revelation, he says, I come quickly. It's been 2,000 years. How does he count days? He tells us, actually, in the verses that we didn't read here, it says, for him, 1,000 years is like one day. It's nothing. He's just been gone 2 days. We have some saints who were with us last weekend. They went back to their locality for a couple of days. Then they're back. That's how he feels. Oh, hey again. For us, it seems so long. But then here, the Lord does not delay regarding the promise, as some count delay, but is what? Long-suffering toward you, not intending that any perish, but that all advance to repentance. I prayed when I was younger, oh Lord, come quickly. But we have some people that got set here, that got saved this week. If the Lord had come when I wanted him to come, those people would not be saved. We have people who are getting baptized tonight. If the Lord had come when I wanted, they wouldn't have a chance to be baptized. So the Lord has been waiting for you, for certain ones. He's waiting for certain ones. Remember Enoch. Let's go back to Enoch. His son's name was Methuselah. And what does it mean? The name? When he dies, it will come, or it will happen, or it will occur. That was a warning, no? When he dies, it will come. Why, however, did you ever think about this? Why did God choose that this name would be given to the person who lived longest in the whole Bible? Long suffering. He was giving time. On one hand, he wants to come. On the other hand, he's patient, waiting for us that we would be ready. And actually, saints, this part here, long-suffering toward you, is not, and also, sorry, not intending that any perish, but that all advance to repentance, is not, in this context, talking about unbelievers. It's talking about believers, that the believers would be ready, that we would be ready. And then, finally, I want to highlight this, expecting and, look at this word here. hastening the coming day of God. Did you know that you can hasten the Lord's coming? It means make it come faster. Isn't that amazing? We can do two things. We can hasten it, or we can delay it. We have that power. If we cooperate, if we reign in life, we can hasten. If we love the world, we delay. Next slide, please. Please make note of these two verses. They're both verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10. For we must all be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done through the body according to what he has practiced, whether good or bad. When the Lord returns, the first ones that he will judge will be his children, the believers. The unbelievers will be judged actually much later. The first ones he will judge are the believers. When he returns, he will set up what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ somewhere in the air. And every single one of us will go to him. I don't know how he's going to do that, because it doesn't take that long. That's not going to take that long. Because there are other things going on in the world during that time. We'll touch a little bit later. But anyway, we all will have to give an account for our life in the body. That doesn't mean the body of Christ. That means how you conducted yourself in this body. God gave you this body. How did you use it? How did you use your eyes? You have to answer to him. How did you use, in all your life, every time you sat in front of a computer screen, every book that you read, movie that you saw, we give an account for that. Every word that came out through these lips, using this tongue, we give an account for that. So, on one hand, we have another song, and our prayer is come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, we want him to come, but when he comes, judgment seat. But you know, in Matthew, which in the later part of this outline, in Matthew 20, talks about Matthew 25. Some will go to the judgment seat, and when they see Jesus, you know what he'll say? Well done, good and faithful slave. You've been faithful in a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. That day, I don't know, how will it be? Imagine. Sorry, this is Daniel, another Daniel. We have many Daniels. Imagine, Daniel, you're there before the Lord. He says, Daniel, you did well. You grew. In the years I gave you, you grew. Yeah, you failed, but you repented. You failed, right? Have you failed already in different things? Sure. Yeah, me more. I've had a longer time to fail. But imagine that day when you get to him. He says, Daniel, you actually confessed all your sins. And then you grew. And you helped build the church. Enter. Oh. He's like, whew. Don't you think? That'd be the most genuine hallelujah. That'd be great if you get in there, oh, Josh is waiting for you. You'd be like, ah, can't believe you made it. Whoa. Praise the Lord. That'd be marvelous, right? Praise the Lord. But seriously, we all have to give an account. We have to give an account for our hands and fingers. Everything we typed, everything we wrote. We have to give an account for our feet, where our feet took us. We all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that will determine, we will either get a reward for growing faster, or there'll be some discipline that will help us grow to make up the growth that we're lacking. Yeah. Some people say it's like a punishment. Personally, I don't like to use that word. I'd rather say it's a discipline to make up the growth. Because sooner or later, you got to grow. And then this verse, you, why do you judge your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Oh, I tell you, if you really realize that one day you have to go in front of God to answer for yourself, you're not going to be criticizing your brother or your sister that much. You got your own problems. Sometimes, without realizing, we become kind of proud. Somebody does something, we think, shh, that guy. That brother. Well, if we realize we're going to be in front of the judgment seat one day, you know what? You forgive everybody. You just forgive everybody. You don't get bothered by things. Next, please. Can we enlarge? Is it possible? If not, it's okay. Just the get the circles. You have this chart in your recovery version. Thank you. Good. You have this chart in your recovery version. This circle is eternity past. This is, if you have just the New Testament, I think it's on page 3031. If you have the whole Bible, I think it's page 25 or something. Huh? 22. Okay, but if you don't have the footnotes, if it's just text, then you don't have it in your Bible. But that's okay, you could look here. This is eternity past, the yellow, eternity past, eternity future. And what this chart is showing you, actually there should be no gap here. The reason there's a gap here is actually because of printing. Because in your book, they should be together in the fold of your, yeah. So this is for binding. So there's no gap here. And this is the time from the beginning of creation, even though this says from Adam, this is time began, like somebody asked the other day, or maybe it was yesterday, but where are the dinosaurs? Yeah, I hope to fellowship with that sister later. I'm going to tell you where the dinosaurs are. Yeah, later. So it's Bible talks about it. A little indirectly, but the Bible talks about it. But they're kind of in here. They're kind of in there somewhere. That's like, I don't know, 12 billion years right there. That little dot right there, 12 billion years. Then from Adam to Moses, then from Moses to the coming of Christ. Right here is when Christ came the first time. And here is when Christ comes the second time. And we are now in what is called the dispensation of grace or of the church. And what we're talking about in this lesson is that this part here, this is a 1,000-year time period, 1,000-year time period that is called, that we call, students of the Bible call, the millennium. The millennium. 1,000 years when God will be reigning on the earth. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. But it's not over yet. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan will actually be released from his prison. He will seduce the nations, particularly leading Russia. And there will be another great rebellion at the end of that. And then after that will be the ushering in of eternity and the New Jerusalem. And it doesn't mean we're all going to heaven. That's going to be on earth. Revelation 21 says the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. But what we're interested in is actually right here. In time, in actuality, we are living right here just before the joining of those two circles. Now, exactly how close, I wish I could tell you, but I don't know. But I think we're right there. I think we're right there. And I think every one of the students in this room, including the TAs, unless you do something stupid, risky, take care of your health and don't do risky things so you can live to see here to here. This is what we call turning the age. You know, we have a website called the Age Turners, ageturners.com. If you've never heard about it, write it down and check it out. ageturners.com. ageturners.com. What are we talking about? We're talking about that there will be a group of people that God will raise up. Actually, that's why we're meeting here. Who will finish the building of the church and bring in the millennium. Who will be like Noah was to finish building the ark? And then God shut the door. And that act was like a trigger. The finishing of the ark was like a trigger on a gun, like a trigger to set things in motion. The flood came. A new age was ushered in. That's what we're talking about. I know it's hard to sometimes imagine, get your head around it. But one day, the ark will be finished. Today's ark, the church, one day will be complete. And when that is done, when the church is built, that'll be like a trigger to set a bunch of things in motion. And the issue will be the bringing in of this kingdom age. And that day, we can sing that song that we've been singing. Let us rejoice and let us give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage of the Lamb is actually right then, right there. And this will be a time of the wedding feast. It's like you have the ceremony. You know, usually there, when there's a wedding, there's a ceremony. Then we, like, everyone goes to the next room, or if you're in the meeting hall, to this room or that room or the basement or the other place, and you have what? Food, a feast. Yeah. When the Lord comes, there's going to be like a ceremony. That's the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. And it says, for His wife has made herself ready. Amen. Then He'll come. They get married. Will marry Christ, then all the things happen. And this 1,000 years is like the reception. 1,000-year reception. But this is the point. Not everybody gets invited to this. Everybody gets invited to this. That's the point we're trying to make tonight. It depends. Did you grow? There's a story. The Lord gave a parable where there's a wedding feast going on. Right. And then there's one guy there who didn't dress properly. Oh, you're very nice. Oh, very nice. Oh, very nice. Oh, oh. And then the master, they ask, how did you get in? And they say, sorry, you have to go. You wouldn't want that to happen when the Lord comes back, would you? Oh, I'm not. Yeah. And what is your proper garment? Grow in life. Growing in life gives you the proper garment. Reigning in life, you got it. Okay, next. Now this gets interesting. Bigger, please, if we can. Okay, higher, please, just a touch. No, other way. More. There we go. Because we need this right here. Thank you. Okay. This shows us the last 7 years of this age. That's what this is. The last 7 years. First 3.5, last 3.5. Adds up to 7. This is from the book of Daniel. But it's also in your recovery version, the big one, right? With the big one with the notes. And this right here, this red arrow, that's the Lord coming publicly. Actually, this is the Lord coming publicly. This is his coming to the air to set up the judgment seat. This is his coming publicly. But do you notice the red arrow goes down, but notice these blue arrows up here and here? That's showing you that before the Lord comes openly, there will be, this is what the Bible calls rapture. R-A-P-T-U-R-E, rapture. That's like Enoch. The Lord will take some of his believers to himself. And that will be a special reward, a delight, because you grew faster. Because you overcame all the temptations and you grew faster. And not only that, then, not only were you raptured first, but also, you get the 1,000 years as a reward. Now, here, actually, this one here before the millennium, look at these things here, the blue. The martyred overcoming saints of past generations are resurrected and raptured to the throne. The first ripe overcoming believers living in this age are raptured to the heavenly Mount Zion. The rest of the overcoming believers living in this age are raptured to Christ's presence. You want to be in this group. Here is the majority of the saints who died, with them the majority of the living saints in this age who are raptured to meet with the Lord in the air. Then Christ judges all the saints at his judgment seat. So we meet the Lord in the air. These get raptured. You see this arrow goes higher? These get raptured to the Lord's presence in the third heaven. These get raptured to the air where the Lord sets up his judgment seat. It's different. Okay, next. Oh, yeah. We don't have time to read all these verses, but here, the reason I have this, 1 Corinthians 6:3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. God caused the growth. In the beginning of the New Testament, Jesus came as a sower. You know that story? Sow the seed, like in that parable. He came as a farmer. Then, in the Gospels, we have the matter of growing, like here. And then in Revelation, he comes to reap. Right, so very consistent throughout. Let's go to the next one. These are the verses I want to highlight. Please write down this reference because it's nowhere in your notes. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 to 15. It's very possible some here never read this verse before. Okay, let's read these verses together. Go.
The word of the beast will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it is revealed by fire, and the fire itself will prove each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built upon the foundation remains, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is consumed, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire.
The analogy changes from growing to building. Did you catch that? Here it talks about what did you build? In the other verses it says God gives the growth. So actually today we are growing and we're building. And as we're growing, we're building the church. But it's possible to grow something that can be consumed. It will be the point here is it'll be tested. And you want your Christian life tested today. Not when you see the Lord. That's the first time. It's much better to get a midterm report and improve. I never liked classes that there was no midterms. Because you go the whole semester, you blow the final, that's it. At least you get grades along the way. I better get better. Now notice this. Here it says, if anyone's work is consumed, he will suffer loss. It does not say he will be lost. It's very important for you to understand this distinction. Some people, believers, they misunderstand this verse to say that Christians can be unsaved and lost and go to hell. That's not what this says. It says you can suffer loss. It's clear. He himself will be saved eternally, yet so as through fire, not without judgment. So our eternal salvation is secure. But that does not mean the Lord will not judge us for our Christian life. That clear? I hope this is clear. This is a very key verse to understand this truth. Next. Do you know what this is? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do it. It was a rhetorical question. Calvinism, Arminianism, these are two schools of thought in theology that have really, I would say, their understanding of some key verses in the Bible, they don't recognize what we're talking about tonight. The matter of the kingdom as a reward. Okay, next. Let's read that. Calvinism.
The school of theology that says, once saved, always saved, no problem.
Okay, I want to ask you. If someone says, once you're saved, you're always saved. Is that correct? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. I knew I'd get some of you. The problem is here. you shouldn't say no problem. You still have a problem. Why? Because when he comes back, we all go where? Judgment seat of Christ. So you might have problem. Or you might be like Daniel and Joshua. They have no problem because they confessed everything before and they grew in life. So they're there waiting for y'all. I should say us all. Next. Once saved, always saved, correct. According to John 10, 28 and 29. Who knows what that says? John 10, 28 and 29. You don't know what that says? Someone please read it to us. John 10, 28 and 29. Who has it? Who has it? Go, loud, please. One, two, three.
Eternal life.
And
they shall by no means perish forever.
Forever.
And no one shall snatch them out of my hand.
Amen. No one. Once we have eternal life, no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Thank you. Or read 29. Go ahead, go ahead. You can't snatch them out of Christ's hand. You can't snatch them out of the Father's hand. We're in the triune God's hands. There are no stronger hands. Once saved, always saved.
Amen.
No problem.
No.
No, don't say that. Because there is a problem. Not correct. According to the verses we just read, 1 Corinthians, might have a problem if we don't build with the proper material. If we don't grow. Next. Let's read this. Arminianism, the school of theology that says we can lose our salvation whenever we have a failure. Not correct, according to the verses we just read, John 10. So, Calvinism is incomplete. Arminianism is incorrect. The balance is the truth of the kingdom. What we're talking about tonight. You're blessed in the Lord's recovery to have this truth. Now, if you have the recovery version with the notes, well, write this down, write this down, write this down. Hebrews 12, 28. Note 1. Hebrews 12, 28. Note 1. Now turn to it. If you have the recovery version with the notes, even if you don't, look on with someone. Let's read the verse. The verse says, therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace through which we may serve God well pleasingly with piety and fear. 29. Yeah, God is love, but he's also a consuming fire. Now look at the note. Do you see the note? Look at that note. This is the most comprehensive note that we have in our recovery version about this topic. And in there you'll find further explanation about Calvinism and Arminianism. And I would like to assign this to you for your group time tomorrow to read through this note. Okay? Okay, next slide. Please write this down and add it to your outline. Add this to your outline in Romans 2. The supplemental outline on the kingdom reward, Romans 2, you have A, B, C, D, E, add F. As a farmer, he's coming as a farmer coming to reap his harvest. James 5, 7, and Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5, 14 through 16. Everybody have it?
No.
Everybody have it?
No.
Everybody have it?
No.
Hurry up. Everybody have it?
Yes.
Amen. Let's read it. As those who don't have it are finishing writing. Let's read. Go. As
the farmer coming to reap his harvest.
Next slide. James 5, 7 through 9. Let's read this. Amen.
Do not complain, brothers, against one another, lest you be judged. Behold, the judge stands before the doors.
Don't complain about each other. Brothers, the Lord's at the door. He's coming. He's coming as a judge. He's coming as a farmer. But look, the farmer eagerly awaits the precious fruit. You may not realize. I don't know what your exact story is. Actually, some of you don't know your exact story. But I can tell you that day, July 13, 1965, my Lord became my Savior that night. That night, that little boy in Brooklyn got the seed of life. Me. At the seed of life. And since then, the Lord has been arranging my life, brought me to the church life, put me together with brothers, an environment in which I could grow. And when I open to Him each morning, it's like the sun comes, the water comes. And the Lord, I think each day is looking, eagerly awaiting fruit. Eagerly awaiting fruit. Did you ever get a project when you were a kid? Like to grow, put a seed? I remember getting a lima bean. Did you guys get a lima bean or some? And then you put it there. And then you wake up. When you wake up, you run over. Nothing. Then the next day, you run over. You think, Mommy, it's broken. But then the next day, maybe you go and, Mom! I think that's how the Lord is looking. Does she grow? Oh. She grew a little bit today. Let's see the brothers. You know that Isaiah, the book of Isaiah says that God never gets discouraged with us. Isn't that cool? He never gets discouraged. You know why? Because He trusts the seed of life that He put in us. He knows it's going to overcome sooner or later. We just want sooner. But He is eagerly awaiting, where is it? Here it is. Precious fruit. One of the fruit is love. Love for your family. Love for your father. Love for your mother. Love for your father who doesn't want you to go to the meetings. That was my experience growing up. I had to love him. And I did love him. But he wasn't for us going to the church. But the Lord, I had to deal with that and not have a bitter feeling against Him when He, of course, later, I won Him over and now He's in the church life too. And then He calls me, are you coming to pick me up for the meeting? And I said, oh, I have to go to Penuel. Again? Okay. He goes, okay. I said, don't you remember? Before, I wanted to go. No, I never do that. So pray, love your father and pray for your father or your mother or your auntie or whoever it is. The Lord wants precious fruit. Love. You know another? What? Joy. You know, joy is a fruit. When you enjoy the Lord, especially when you're in the middle of a situation that's not so strong, when you enjoy the Lord, fruit is coming out. Self-control, precious fruit. And then the other kind of fruit, when you preach the gospel and you get a friend saved, it says, there is joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. I always wonder about that verse. It doesn't say that the angels are joyful. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. What does that mean? Who's in the presence of the angels? Think about that. Anyway. Next. Yeah, we don't have time to read all these. But I'm going to highlight in the next slide. Well, actually, it's 1 through, just write this down, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. Next, please. And the next. I just want to highlight these four verses. This talks about the man of lawlessness is revealed. That which restrains so that he might be revealed in his own time. The mystery of lawlessness. It's talking about in this age, at the end of the age, just like Noah, lawlessness will prevail. And there's something that is he, so that, where is it? That which restrains. There is, I think we talked to some of you about this before. There, God does have something called that which restrains that has been holding down the lawlessness. Hard to believe, because when you look at the society today, it's full of lawlessness. But actually, we didn't read it, but the rest of verse 7 says, that which restrains will go out of the way, and eventually that man of lawlessness is going to be revealed. But the ones who are not deceived by him are the ones who receive the love of the truth. I hope as you go through this truth school, you receive the love of the truth. Next. I think we have the slide again, just to remind you. Okay, this is really the point, saints. We need to be in this group. And for that, we need to grow. And we need to grow faster. And we need to redeem the time. And we need to ask the Lord to strengthen us, not to waste our time. Not to waste our time. Next. That's my point. Let's read. That's my burden. We need to grow. We need to build. And we need to run. Run the race. Next. Here are some verses for each of the points. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 2. We need to grow. I hope you would pray, Lord, grow in me. Lord, grow in me. Actually, the way to grow is all in outlines 1 through 10. If you would just pay attention to the content, to the lessons in those outlines, to the content of those outlines, you will grow. And then build. And we're building. This point here is we're building the church. We're building. But you have to take heed how you build. You have to take heed how you build. And then we're actually running the Christian race. These verses talk about we all run, but one gains the prize. There's a prize. And we need to run. We need to run the race for the prize. The Lord put the kingdom reward as an incentive for us to run the race. For us to grow faster. And this is something that every one of us has to have some personal transaction with the Lord concerning. Do you want that prize? Do you want to build? Do you want to please him and give him what he wants. Next, how about we pray these prayers? Amen.
Lord, I want to grow.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I want to run.
Amen. How about we have some prayer? You can pray two by two, and then we have a few minutes for your sharing. Amen.